I'm doing my taxes, man.
You should know better. The podcast comes first. The hell with the federal government. Oh, unless, of course, they owe you money. Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are a very horse, Barry J, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, the Path app uploads users' address books without permission. Oops. Instagram gets revamped with a fresh interface and new features. And Verizon allows Skype on 3G. All that and more on Late Night QRM. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire. Here's Barry J. and Michael. So welcome to Late Night QRM show number 38 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I'm Barry J.
And from the man cave in the suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the virtual Uber.
And we may have a couple other people show up tonight. They may not. I don't know. We'll see. We actually heard from Barty. He may join us tonight, if he can. Josh says he might be a little late because he's doing his taxes. Honestly, what comes first, podcasting or taxes? Come on.
Podcasting.
Jeez. Look, the federal government's had your money this long. They can keep it for a couple more days. Jeez. Well, that is if, he gets a return. Okay, so it has been a very weird week here in New Hampshire. We've had warm weather. We've had average weather. We've had, right now, it's 13 degrees out. So we have cold weather. But no snow. We have only had maybe two snowstorms. The one in October on Halloween, where we got dumped with 3 feet of snow. And then we got couple of snowstorms where we got like a trace of snow. I think the most we got here was 3 inches, and that's been our winter so far. Very unusual.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we probably got 6-10 inches on Thursday night, which is more or less considered flurries up here. But all in all, we've had probably total, oh geez, I haven't seen the estimates yet, but we've had over 100 inches easily, probably much more than that, but that's a very, very light winter for us.
Yeah.
That being said, though, the trails are still several feet deep, the groomed trails for the snowmobiles and such. And I was out cross-country skiing this afternoon and thinking the trail was really, really not that thick until I went off trail and my pole went halfway down the pole.
Really? Wow.
Dumped me with the skis. So that reminds me that, yeah, there actually is plenty of snow here. But you go 100 miles south of here and there's nothing. So this whole area is just overrun by snowmobiles and skiers and snowshoers and anybody looking for a winter sport. I can't blame them. And it's good for the businesses up here. So.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the ski resorts up here are, they're making their... It's cold enough that they can create their own snow. But it's just not as good as natural snow, and so they're probably hurting. And, of course, snowmobiling is just out of the question. I mean, there's just not enough stuff on the ground to go snowmobile. And so, and that means cross-country skiing is kind of out of the country. So, and all the guys that, make a living in the wintertime plowing, they're having a hard winter. So
It's easy on their equipment, though.
Easy? Yeah, easy on the equipment, but I'm sure they'd rather be bringing in the bucks.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. We still got a few more weeks. Of course, last week we didn't podcast because it was the Super Bowl, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, we know how that turned out.
How did that work out for you?
Yeah, yeah. All I can say is, I think it's time for Brady to go. I really think that it would be better for the team because, you know, in the big game, when it counts, he doesn't come through anymore. So I'd rather take a licking for a couple of years with a new quarterback and maybe rebuild the team. But this is, I want to say the second time for the Super Bowl, but last year he did the same thing in the playoffs. We didn't even make the Super Bowl last year, even though we were in the playoffs. So it's time. But football's over for yet another year. And congrats.
Pretty good commercials, though.
Yeah, they were. They were some good ones. They haven't been as good lately. I don't think people are they care too much about the commercials anymore, or maybe they're just getting.
Well, some of them are pretty creative, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I like VW's follow up with the dog.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was really good. And for us geeks out there, that Best Buy commercial was really good.
Well, it kind of.
Well,
depends,
starting out with Philippe Kahn, I mean, they talk about. I mean, he's like the ham radio guy of ham radio, and all the other inventions that he's come up with since.
Hmm.
And the commercial discredits him for the picture phone, but Philippe Kahn's he's the one behind AX25 and TCP/IP for amateur radio, and he came up with the name's escaping me right now, but the privacy encryption for email.
Okay.
And he wrote the motion engine for Motion X for GPS and other apps out there. And that guy is just, he's all over the place for inventions.
Huh. Wow. I don't know whether I saw that one or not.
Oh, yeah. It was like, it was a whole geek commercial.
Wow.
Just a whole bunch of inventors.
I think I may have missed that one.
Oh, yeah, I know what that is. That's cool. And then the Matthew Broder commercial is pretty good, too.
Yeah, yeah. What I found, too, was interesting is a lot of the Super Bowl commercials were on the internet. The week before the actual Super Bowl.
Yeah, I avoid that at all costs. You know, it's one of the DJs / podcasters I listen to locally says, you know, that's like opening your Christmas presents before Christmas.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, the only problem is when you're watching the commercials and you're interested in the game, it's hard to find a time to go use the little boys room.
Yep.
So, but I had Josh and his family were up watching the Super Bowl, and before the Super Bowl, and I wish Josh was here, but his son was there, and they brought their Xbox with them, and because they wanted to show me Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. And since Matuska was the only one that knows how to play it decently, because, you know, he's like 12.
Right.
We let him play it, and we were actually sitting there watching him play, and it was like watching a freaking movie. I mean, it was amazing. He was like, "You want to try it? No, go ahead. You're good. You're good. You're getting through everything, you know." And you know, just watching the thing like a movie, and cranked up the sound. And of course, I have the home theater, so I've got 5.1 system. Or 4.1, well, 5.1 system, and so the sounds are coming everywhere, you know, and of course the subwoofer is booming and shaking the place with the explosions and everything, and but yeah, he was really good, and of course Josh, the typical father there, was going like, "No, you want that gun? You want, pick up that gun over there? No, that's a better gun to have than this gun." He's good. He goes, "If I were you, I would sit low here and wait until they get through." And of course, his son did the opposite. He went running through and basically shot and killed everybody around, all the enemy people around. And I looked at Josh and I said, "You know, when it comes to this game, if I'm going to believe you, a 40-year-old, or him, a 12-year-old, I'm going with what the 12-year-old says."
Yeah, my kids have offered to tutor me when it comes time for us all to sit down and do this online. So,
yeah.
I've got some local military advisors here.
Well, I finally last night broke the seal on my version, my game of it, and I put it in, and I haven't gotten out of the first wreck, or I haven't finished that yet. You have to go up and pull out there and take out a jammer antenna, and I'm close, but there's this one section I just keep getting killed left and right. I suck at this game. I really do. So it'll be fun. You guys all have fun killing me.
Well, I don't know if I've ever actually played my kid's Xbox.
Oh, really?
I think I played trivia on it right in the very get-go.
Yeah.
I've played on their PS2 and their Wii. Yeah. But I'm still basically working three jobs. And
you don't have much time.
Games don't normally come first in my priority.
Yeah, I would say.
Once in a while I pick up something, but... I haven't played with the Xbox yet.
Yeah, well... it can be... I finally got frustrated because I kept getting killed. And I said, that's it! So, and then I started watching... something on Netflix. Had the Xbox on, so I was watching Netflix off of it. And I started
playing a couple of games on the iPhone.
But oh, really?
And it's kind of, you know, rare when I have a chance to sit down and do it.
Yeah. I don't play too much. I've got a couple games on there. I end up playing Angry Birds all the time if I'm sitting around doing nothing.
Well, the original version, I went all the way through and ran it all the way through. But that was the time that came out. Well, that came out before, but I started playing it when myself and my appendix parted company. And I had a lot of time on my hands for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I managed to get all the way through the original Angry Birds, but they keep updating it.
Yeah, they update that. And of course, I got the seasonal Angry Birds.
Right.
Also, and that gets updated every time there's a holiday, so, which is kind of neat.
Yep.
Something different.
And I do play Temple Run. Not as much as I used to, but that's kind of a fun game on the iPhone.
I don't know Temple Run. What's that?
Well, look it up. It's
okay.
It's an Indiana Jones takeoff.
Oh.
It's free, too. It's actually a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Last night, with the advice of the Pixel Priest... otherwise known as Father Roderick, for those that listen to the SQPN network, he put out a advisory that trains, TRAINZ, train set simulator or railroad simulator was on sale for 99 cents for the iPad, so I picked that up last night. My kids are really interested. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but if it's on sale and it's 99 cents, I'm going to try it. Generally... if he likes it, generally, I'm going to like it. So.
What's that? Wait, you build a virtual railroad track or something?
Yeah, it looks... well, I haven't tried it yet, so I'm afraid of saying too much and, you know, turning into another talk like we did when we tried Path that night and realized how bad it was.
Yeah, yeah.
It got worse, actually. I think you probably saw the news on that.
Yeah, actually, I was going to bring that up. Did you see? They actually... I guess uploaded everybody's address books.
Yeah. Oops.
Oh, we're very sorry. We uploaded all your address.
We just took all your personal information from your contact list without telling you about it.
And we deleted it, honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was something else. I read that this week and I said, geez, I wonder if mine got uploaded. Probably.
You know, it does ask, though, and I believe I said no.
Oh, did it ask?
Well, I don't know how much it asked, but everything, you know, when it came down to asking for personal information, I declined. Didn't mean it didn't send it, but I did decline.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll probably be deleting that off of my iPhone here soon. I just didn't see too much in it. Have you tried Instagram?
You know, I've got it loaded. I've never really played with it that much. I've probably had it for a month and a half now.
I have two, And I really haven't looked at it too much either. But it seems to be a the big thing that's going on right now.
Everybody, well, I know it's insanely popular, but I haven't figured out why yet.
Me either. I mean, it's just...
It's picture sharing, I understand.
Right, yeah. I guess maybe I don't get out and about too much. I take a lot of pictures.
Generally, if I share a picture, it's on Google Plus or...
Right, or Facebook.
Twitter or whatever, yeah.
That's where I do it. But in Instagram, well, they came out with a new version of it, and I've got a link in the show notes if anybody's interested. And supposedly they've got some, they revamped the interface, which I wasn't familiar with the old interface. So, let's see. There we go. Okay. It did. I thought my link didn't work. But I heard that they have some pretty decent filters now that are pretty interesting down at the bottom, which I don't remember the filters being there now, but you can just you bring up your picture and then they've got like a whole list of filters that you can scroll through at the bottom, horizontally scroll through and select it. And actually that was pretty cool. So I just, you know, it's yet again something else that you've got to set up and then gather a bunch of people to join you on Instagram and then, you know, share with them. And it's, I don't know, sometimes the social media stuff is, social networking is tedious.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time on it.
I have been more interested in Google Plus lately. I think,
I really wish more people would be adopting it. I like the privacy. I like being able to direct, you know, what I'm saying at particular groups.
Right. And
maybe, generally, the content I find on it is better, you know, than you really have to filter through all the crap that comes through on Facebook.
The other nice thing about Google Plus, and of course we're using it now as a hangout here for this podcast, but they've been sneaking this stuff in, I've noticed. I don't know how often, but, you know, it's not like you have these major revamps. It's just like, you know, they'll add something and all of a sudden, hey, look, the GUI changed a little bit. And, oh, look, they added a new feature. And, hey, that's kind of cool. And it just seems to be improving day by day. And I find myself on it more. That and Twitter, pretty much I check out whenever, you know, even at work. I'll pull both of those up and check out what's going on. It's how I get my instant news. And the nice thing between Twitter and Google Plus doesn't have the 140 character limit. So,
right.
Which to me actually makes it better. So, So if you haven't checked out Google Plus, you should do it because it just improves every day.
So, I've actually kind of had a renewed interest in Twitter. I was reading it, but I wasn't posting much for a long time there. But all of a sudden, I had several people start following me out of the blue, and I started posting some more, and then my son got involved. So I'm kind of checking it on a regular basis now.
Oh. Well, I haven't...
It really is, again, it's where I'm picking up the tips on which games to get from iOS.
Oh, okay. Is there a certain person you follow, or is there a series of people?
For the games?
Yeah.
Mostly I'm getting that tip right from Father Roderick.
Okay.
A gamer.
So he's become...
What little time he's got. I listen to his weekly show that used to be a daily show, which it's changed names a couple of times, but... And the few, he's not a guy who has a ton of time free in his life, but right. You know, when he does have some time, he likes to sit down and. I guess what I like is that the games he plays are stuff that you can get in, you know, sit down for 10, 15 minutes and not lose yourself for hours in it and still have fun.
Mm.
And he's become a big fan of Star Trek Online as well. I've got that all set to download the next time I go into the office.
Now, is that an iPhone? iPhone game?
No, that's a PC, actually.
Okay, because I've seen...
Mac yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. I've we kept pausing and going at the same time.
I know.
It's the delay, I think, that's doing it.
Without my camera going, I couldn't say, okay, I'm changing subjects now.
No. We were talking over each other all the time, and I think I was trying to wait the delay out. And
the delay was our... tonight. Maybe that's why normally I do wait for you, but it actually, on my end, it doesn't seem too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Maybe that's why we're having problems, because we're used to having the delay.
Yeah, we're ready to go. Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. And when and post processing, I usually have to go through and take out the real long pauses.
Oh. Yeah. I noticed that it seems to move along a lot better after you process the show.
Yeah. And you know what I found lately, because everybody seems to be going longer and longer with their podcasts. You know, the No Agenda, which goes for 2.5 hours, and even Todd Cochran's Geek News Central is going 1 hour and 20 minutes now, and whatnot. Is I have actually bumped myself up to 2.5 times the speed, and it took a little bit to get used to, but now I'm listening to it at 2.5 times the speed with no problem. It lets me listen to more podcasts. And one of the things I've noticed when you listen to it fast like that is and the people sound more intelligent for some reason. I guess fast talkers sound a lot more intelligent than, you know, normal talkers. Sorry.
Now, speaking of Todd, he just showed up as, this is somebody you may want to follow.
On what?
As you were talking.
Oh, really? On
what? Yeah, he showed up on my Google, so I added to my follow list there.
Excuse me for a minute. You can talk. I've got a cough.
Okay, you hit the cough button. You did not hit the cough button.
I've hit the cough button. You can probably hear it, but
I hear it. All right,
it's not making it onto the
thing. Right.
You're hearing it through
you
the
got
monitor,
quieter, though.
Huh?
You got real quiet.
Did I?
Yeah.
There's another thing that my wife, of course, has a podcast now. She's called Political QRM, and she does it with a friend of hers up in Maine, and they've got 3 episodes out right now. PoliticalQRM.com. Warning: it's for the middle of the road to conservative thinking type people. If you stray to the left, you will probably hate it. But you can listen in if you want to. But they've been doing it, and I've noticed technically. Speaking that her voice, especially because it's a higher pitched noises, I get feedback every once in a while, even though Lou on the other end is wearing headphones and stuff. Course, they're using Skype, but I have sometimes an issue with some feedback, and now I'm wondering whether it's my mixer board or whether I'm actually getting feedback from Skype. And I think I've noticed myself feedback here a couple times on the Hangout. So I don't know. May have to look into that a little bit. See what's going on.
Huh. Yeah. By the way, a couple people have noticed, and they've mentioned it on This Week in Tech now, and the Twit Network, that Skype is now allowing people to use 3G. I think I brought that up on the last show.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah.
An accident. But now it's, you know, I guess Microsoft's got enough clout to say, you will let us do this.
Yeah, of course. At the same time that all the freaking carriers out there are limiting you to 2 gigs.
Bandwidth, yeah. But the one thing the latest couple of versions of Skype, though, I use Skype in a lot because, as you know, I've got no cell phone coverage within 15 miles up here.
Yeah.
But we've got lots of Wi-Fi. So I actually have a phone number that, you know, local phone number, even the local exchange for Skype. But now, if I change access points and I don't shut Skype down and restart it on my iPhone, it doesn't ring.
Huh.
Which is kind of defeating the purpose. I got to remember, every time I move from one Wi-Fi zone to another now, I got to shut Skype off and turn it back on again.
Because it doesn't connect up to the Wi-Fi?
It's connected. Wi-Fi? It's running.
It just doesn't
but
ring.
It doesn't ring. This screams as a bug to me.
Yeah, my problem with Skype is, of course, I've had it, and AT&T's allowed it for quite some time now, but I couldn't keep Skype on all the time because it would just kill the battery in no time.
Huh. No, I haven't had that problem.
Huh.
Yeah, but my battery life's been fine, especially since... I've never really had a problem with iOS 5, now that I think about it. I don't think I noticed a big difference between iOS 5 and 5.01. But I leave Skype on all the time, especially even at work, because at the ambulance office, Verizon is almost unusable in the building, ironically.
Wow.
AT&T works fine. So... most of my friends know to try to call me on the Skype number first, even if I'm in cell phone coverage. If I've got cell coverage, Skype works. And if I'm near Wi-Fi, Skype works.
Huh.
And on 3G, it rings all the time. I never have a problem with it ringing on 3G.
Wow.
It's so almost like, you know, trying to ring at the old access point. I don't know.
Huh. So it's only on Wi-Fi that you have an issue.
It seems to be only a Wi-Fi problem for me.
Which is weird. Yeah, because that's where you would think you'd use Skype the most.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned it, or maybe I didn't, but when I did sign up for the Skype in number, because I've only had this since last fall, the local number that I used to have for Gizmo 5 years ago was available again. So...
You got
still got the same local Skype or local VoIP number, anyhow, that I had back in 2006. So now, that's kind of cool.
Now, do you use what the heck's it called? Google Voice? Is that it? The one it used to be Grand.
No, actually, it used to be Grand Central, and I signed up for it.
Yeah.
And the invitations kept getting screwed up every time. You've got an invitation, and I tried to confirm it, and it wouldn't confirm. So, no, I don't use Google Voice. Okay. I probably should sign up for it someday.
Well, I was just thinking, because you've got like two or three phone numbers assigned to you, and if you gave out the, from what I've been told, and I have one, I just don't use it, you can use Google Voice to, you give that out, and it'll ring up all the numbers you tell it to ring up.
Right. So, and I've got friends that use it all the time.
Yeah.
But I never got past the invitation confirmation stage.
Huh. Well, I'm sure it's probably easier now. I think you can just sign up for it now that Google has it.
Yeah, I should try it again.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're not going to roll it into all this. That's the other thing that's been happening with Google Plus. You've noticed that Google is merging all their platforms together slowly but surely.
Yep. It's causing quite a conundrum out there for people. Like, oh, they've taken 60 privacy policies and made it one. It's got to be evil. Okay.
It's on the internet.
I kind of like dealing with one rather than 60.
Really? The other thing I've noticed past few weeks is every once in a while my Gmail, when I'm on the actual web page going for Gmail, looking at Gmail, it sometimes screws up or I can't log into it. Or it can't produce the page, and no matter what I do, it says, "Oh, I'm sorry, we can't get to that page right now." And it's like, it's Gmail. Why can't you get to Gmail? I'm looking at my iGoogle. I'm looking at my Google Plus. It's the same account. Why can't you see Gmail? But that's happened several times, and I haven't found a way around it. It's just, I've even killed the tab, brought up a new tab, or even selected Gmail from like Google Plus menu, and it comes up and says, "Oh, sorry, can't find that page." So, very weird. So, growing pains, I guess, for the Google empire. So. And speaking of empires, we should note some Apple news.
Yes.
Rumors are that the MacBook Pro will be coming out soon, or at least this year, a new version of it. And according to Digital Trends here, their article is it's going to look a lot like the MacBook Air, is what they're saying. So,
you know, I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready to give up my CD DVD drive yet for the Pro. Yeah, well, I've got both. I've got an Air and I've got a Pro.
Well, I could say that I could probably give it up because I barely ever use it. And if I needed one, an external one, actually, I have an external one, which I prefer to use than the one that's actually in the box because it seems to work better. Sometimes I'll stick a DVD in there and the one inside my MacBook Pro won't be able to read it. I stick it in the external one, it reads it just fine.
Huh.
So, with the amount of times I use it now, dwindling down to almost nothing, I don't think I'll miss it. My concern would be, is of course, this means that probably the hard drive you're going to get is going to be a solid state hard drive.
It's going to be solid state, yeah.
So the question there is are they going to allow you to have, are they still going to put like, what do they normally put in there, a 350 gig hard drive? Because
no, it's not even that. I mean, I just went through this week with one of the local residents has given up their Microsoft PC environment and switched to Apple. I've been tutoring them for about the last 2 weeks mm-hmm. and getting ready to convert everything over. And I loaned them my MacBook Air, and it took her all of 3 days before she's, okay, let's order one. It's like, no, let's wait another week, and then we'll go ahead and order one. Yeah. But when we pulled up the order page, you know, a 13-inch MacBook Air
right.
versus a 13-inch MacBook Pro, the MacBook Pro was $100 less than the 13-inch MacBook Air.
Really? So you think there'll be a significant...
It's, you know, the MacBook Pro's got a 500 gig hard drive on it. The MacBook Air had, what, 150 or maybe a 200?
Yeah.
So I went down the list with her. I said, well, you know, the MacBook Pro, you're getting a backlit keyboard. You're getting all these extra ports. You're getting a DVD, CD drive. It's going to be a little bit heavier, but, you know, it's $100 less and a whole bunch more RAM and a whole bunch more hard drive for $100 less. So I'd like to see how they're going to deal with, you know, that end of it if they make the Pro more Air-like. I'm not against it, really. I suppose I could live without drive.
But, yeah, I could live without the drive, but I can't live without the hard drive space. So,
are you space is a big one, yeah.
Yeah, for mine, mine's 6 years old now, and it came with a 350 gig hard drive, and I eventually replaced that with a 500 gig hard drive, which, you know, I'm on the hairy edge with that one now. As far as keeping stuff on it, of course, I could go through and clean it up a bit, but if they come out with this thing and all of a sudden you're down to, you know, your MacBook Pro with 150 gig, you know, solid state drive, that's not going to do me. I'm not going to do that. I don't care how much, I'm not going to keep all my stuff up in the cloud like they want, you know.
Well, I don't have that option here. I mean, not everybody in the U.S. has got fiber to the house.
Exactly.
In my case, it's not even fiber to the county.
Right. So you can't even, and I have it, well, I've got internet here, so I can access it, but I don't want to access it like that. I want stuff on my hard drive, and I want at least 500 gig of space. So unless they're going to, and if they, you know, they put 500 gig solid state drive in there, what are they going to charge $4,000 for it?
Yeah, I don't know. And the other thing I forgot to mention was there was a significant processor speed between the current MacBook Air and a Pro.
Really?
So, you know, if they're able to, you know, to make all these comparables and keep the price where it should be, then I guess I'm in favor of it, but they're worlds apart right now.
Right, and that's what I'm starting to notice with mine, even though it's, you know, it's 6 years old now, is I'm noticing the speed because a lot of the software that's coming out now expects the faster chips, and it's just running a little too slow now, and I could probably do some things to speed it up a little bit, like, probably clean up my hard drive so there's more swap space, but it seems like more of the programs are using more memory, and I only have 3 gig on RAM on there because that's the max I can put on it, where the newer ones, I think you can go up to, what, 6 or 8?
Yeah. I'm running 8.
Okay, yeah.
And with 8 gig, I'm running about 70% most of the time. So okay. Everything's staying in RAM, and it's really, really snappy.
Okay,
see. And it makes a huge difference if you're running Parallels or VMware.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, I just got a new version of, went out and bought another copy of Adobe Audition because they have the Mac version.
Oh, did you work out a deal with them?
No, I didn't.
The deal was you pay us the money, we'll give you a copy.
Right. They don't deal.
Bummer.
They don't deal. And I was even looking up for coupons to see if I could get a little cheaper. And of course, they're not interested in selling these things as singles, which is what I did. So there were no great deals on that. But if you wanted to buy the whole, what do they call it? Their whole creative set, CS55.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. Which is, runs around $1,000 for that package. That gives you, Audition. It gives you, what's their video one? Premiere? Something, Adobe Premiere and a couple other things. They're all rolled up in one. If you're really into multimedia, it's a great deal. I just wanted Adobe because all I do is sound. I mean, Audition. Right. So, but I ended up because, I found I end up doing these a lot more if I'm sitting down in the family room and I got the TV on. It's like, oh, I can edit the show together while I'm sitting here. And that way I also have a decent package or sound mixing package when I'm on the road. I can always take my MacBook Pro with me and I have Audition with me. I think it's probably worth the money I paid because it's, to me anyway, it's the best audio software out there. And maybe that's other people say, oh no, this version of Cakewalk's better or whatever's better. But it comes down to is I'm comfortable in Audition. I like using it. I know it. And I've tried other software. Not quite as good. Not quite as clean. I'm just really happy. Audition and I are a good fit. So anyway, my wife was using, actually she was doing the podcast and she sits there on the MacBook Pro, and she was having problems getting to some stuff. It was running really slow. And I'm talking about, she was just trying to, type stuff and she was getting beach balled a little bit. And she goes, oh, I'm going to buy you a new computer. I said, well, the new ones are coming out and I hope you got $3,000 on you because that's what it's going to cost to replace this one.
Now, did you upgrade your Pro to Lion?
I did.
Oh, that's part of the issue, I'm sure.
It is. I started really noticing the slower speeds with Lion. And, you can't...
Well, Lion is definitely working the machine harder because even with mine, which is... It's one model behind the current ones out there,
yeah.
But I'm still running an i5, mm-hmm. And I've got 8 gig. But I did notice, I never saw a beach ball in Snow Leopard. Oh man, I miss Snow Leopard. But all heck broke loose when I went to Lion. Now, I don't know if you saw it, but Apple did release an update for Lion this last week.
Yeah. Oh.
1 gig something, 1 point something gig combined. Update.
I think I installed it. Yeah.
It solved so far. It looks like it has solved the stability problems that I had. I was getting really frustrated.
Okay.
I was getting hard crashes.
Oh, that's bad.
In the beginning, it was every couple of days. Then after a couple of updates, I had it down to a week. Every week it would crash on me.
Right.
Which is not something you're used to with.
No. No.
And it wasn't just a little, beach ball. It was like, you lost complete control. You finally had to push and hold the power button and just watch everything go flush.
Wow.
And then you had to do I wasn't even aware that there was a safe boot for an Apple.
Oh, yeah.
When that crash happened in Lion, you actually have to bring it up in safe mode and let it flush all the buffers and then bring it up.
Wow. Jeez. Now, I haven't had
it happened to me once on an international conference this week, too.
Oh.
It was last week. I was not a happy camper.
No, definitely not. I think I upgraded it, and I haven't had complete crash meltdowns like you have. had. But I've been seeing more beach balls lately. And I think it's probably a limitation on the RAM that I'm using. And that's usually what happens with software, you know, that software progresses.
It starts swapping out.
And they're used to using the new operating systems, which I have, but they expect faster chips and faster and more RAM is what it comes down to. And eventually, well, hell, I was, you know, when I was on the PC side of things, I was buying a new laptop almost yearly just to keep up with it.
Right.
And so I'm happy that this went 6 years. And now it's beginning to slow down, and it's a little annoying, but it's not enough yet that I'm willing to plunk down another $3,000 yet.
Yeah, it's not a minor investment.
Right, but I know the time is coming, so I should probably just be socking some money away a little bit at a time. So, you know, when the time comes.
And to be fair, you know, my MacBook Air is was originally a Snow Leopard, and I upgraded that one to Lion, and I haven't had a stitch of trouble with that.
Really?
Yeah. But I've just got, you know, a lot of legacy programs and data that came with the Pro here. Yeah. That's my main development machine.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining that, or I imagine that it's really the fact that I had to do an upgrade with all my stuff on there that's causing some of my problems.
Right. And I have a feeling that they're going to do away with the MacBook totally. So I think your options are going to be the MacBook Air 13 and 15-inch sizes. And then when this year's comes out, you'll get the MacBook Pro, which will be a 15 and 17-inch size. And, you know, the difference between the two 15-inch ones is probably just more power and probably a better chipset. But, of course, the 15s are going to come out first, so if I was going to get a new one, I want the 17-inchers. I mean, that's my main machine, and 15 inches won't do it for me as with my main machine. So I'll wait until the 17-inch ones come out. But yeah, it'll be there soon. So I've got another topic. Switch topics a little bit, and we'll go over to the iPhone. Again, and of course, there's nothing wrong with the iPhone. Still great, but AT&T's up to their games again, and I'm starting to get annoyed with AT&T now.
What's this about? I saw that, and I was like, well...
Well, first of all, what AT&T did before this story that I have down here, about a month ago, AT&T has decided that everybody that's grandfathered into the unlimited data plan didn't mean to cough. I didn't have time to hit the button. You still have unlimited data. However, they first started saying, well, if you're in the top 5% of users, then we're going to, if you make it to the top 5% as a user, then we're going to slow your speed down. You still have unlimited data, but we're going to only allow you to run at about 128K, I think it is, which is kind of like a phone modem. Yeah. And of course, you'll be stuck at that speed until the next billing cycle, which, you know, you could be on it for 2-3 weeks. But now, and I've never heard any announcement about this, except for I did get an email from them. Actually, I got a text from them that basically said, if I go over 2 gigs in one billing cycle, my speed will be reduced. And I'm like, 2 gig? Anybody can go over 2 gig.
Yeah,
you know, especially with the
a lot to do that
with more and more stuff going on. So now I got to watch how much I go over, and what they want to do is wipe. They don't want the unlimited plan anymore. They want you all to come over to the other plan, which is basically 2 gig, and then if you go over 2 gig, they charge you $10 for another gig. And so, you know, it may be a better plan because. I have an app called Downcast, and it downloads all my podcasts. And
I
used to let it do it both on Wi-Fi and MP3, G3 on the mobile network. And I had to turn off the mobile network because what happens is I have the phone turned off during the day because it sits in a locker at work. And then I turn it on and all of a sudden it says, oh, look, you got like 15 podcasts and video casts to download. And it immediately starts downloading them. And of course, they're all downloading on the mobile network. And last month I was like, I was over 6 gigs of usage. And so I said, well, okay, we're turning that off. We'll only use that if we really need it when we're on travel. I can wait until I get home and on the Wi-Fi network to download the podcast. So shame on me for turning that on, but I had unlimited data.
Right.
And I lost my train of thought. Where was I getting going with this? Geez, I can't remember now.
Well, it's approaching that 2 gig limit again.
Okay, well, that's basically what AT&T is doing. But now what they're doing is they've come up, and I've got a link in the show notes about this. When you upgrade your phone, so in other words, I've got an iPhone 4 now. This year, the iPhone 5 will be coming out. I plan to upgrade to the iPhone 5. Well, it used to cost like $16, I think, for an upgrade. You know, when you upgraded your phone, they would charge you $16 to put that phone on the... Why? I don't know. What it's for? I don't know. But they decided now, they just announced they're doubling that. So it's now going to cost now I don't know. I can't do math. What was it, 16 before? So I think it's $32. Actually, I think it's more than that. Let me click on the link. I might have my.
While you're doing that, you got me to look up Verizon, and son of a gun, those dirty dogs are now following AT&T.
Oh yeah, those guys will all do it.
They dropped their basic plan, the 2 gig.
Yeah.
For $30 a month.
Yeah, they see money making deals here because they know everybody's gonna want to use their smartphones. I mean, that's what they got them for. That means they're gonna use data. $40. $36. Yeah. Okay. So before
to
upgrade your phone. Upgrading your phone will cost $36. Because the phones are more complicated now, and it takes time to program the phones to get them to work on the network. Really? I can do it.
Yeah, right.
And freaking Apple makes it simple.
You know what? Verizon allows you to go in there and just change your ID. As long really? As you've got the ID tag of your phone, you can drop one phone and activate the other one.
Yeah, I remember... When I bought it, because I got my 4 at the Apple Store, and I think if I remember correctly, I plugged it into iTunes, and I activated it at home, and it was all automatic. But yet AT&T still charged me whatever it cost to activate the phone. So that's just bullshit. That's like they're charging money because they can, you know.
Is that a surprise?
No.
As you look at their texting plans?
Yes. You know, I'm still on the middle plan. They haven't changed me. I heard they were doing away with the plan that I have. And
the texting?
Yeah. You can either get, I think they're only offering the unlimited plan now. And, or the pay by the text. And I had that in between one. I think I get 1,500 messages a month. Which is way more than I'd ever use. But it was kind of in the middle because I didn't want to pay... What are they charging? 20 cents a text or something? So I had that plan, and supposedly they're doing away with that, but I still have it. They haven't grandfathered me or told me that I have to change my plan. So
I get anywhere from 2 to 5 texts a month that are sent to me.
I think
that's all the other paramedics talk to each other. They don't call. They text each other.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. When Josh and I talk, we rarely call each other. We just text each other. So I understand that. Well, to me, texting is kind of good for that because it's like, well, look, if you're doing something important, I don't want to interrupt you, but boom, boom, boom. Here, you can read this whenever you get a chance. You know.
But again, I've got OG. Got OG coverage here, so you know the texts get to me once or twice a week when I go to town.
Right. But that's but you're using Skype. Doesn't Skype have texting?
Oh yeah, Skype texts. And there's this thing called email that works really well.
Oh,
that I get.
No, yeah, texting is a little more immediate than email.
Yeah,
but well, anyway, so AT&T's screwing everybody, screwing the customers yet again. Here, so
oh yeah, that's why I switched from them a long time ago. I still have one. I've had one AT&T account for my mom since 96. That one will never change because I won't do that to her.
Huh.
But I've been off AT&T for quite some time.
Yeah. Another link I have in the show notes, news topic, is that the group Anonymous says that they attacked and put the CIA website offline. Well, first of all, the CIA website is nothing that is, you know, so what? That's just for everybody to go.
Who checks that on a regular basis, you know?
Well, actually, they had, you can get a lot of interesting information about people, not people, countries and things. They have the whole CIA database, that the public database they make available. It's got some really good information in it. But I'm sure that they didn't attack anything that the CIA really uses, probably because they can't get to it. Just a guess here on my part, but you know, working with the defense, being in the defense industry for 30 years now, anything that they actually use, you're not going to get to. So I'm not too concerned.
I thought it was a much
that.
Bigger deal that the CIA one was amusing, but when they dialed into the phone conference between the FBI and Scotland Yard, was it?
Yeah. That was
kind of, recorded it.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting. I guess they were using an open line for that.
Well, they used a regular automated dial-in conference, it sounds like, and they Anonymous intercepted one of the emails that has the phone number and the conference code, and they just dialed in.
Yeah.
The government does have secure conference servers, I know for a fact.
Yeah.
Apparently they weren't using one.
No, apparently they didn't think they needed to, but... Or, I don't know. Yeah, that was kind of stupid. But whenever you see these stories, I kind of laugh at it because it's like, okay, yeah, okay, wow, you downloaded the, you know, public version of the CIA website that, you know, ooh, look, aren't you cool? But still, you got to be careful with Anonymous because they could screw things up. If you know, if they're smart enough to get in, and they seem to get into these sites very quickly, and after something happens, this was, I guess, in response to the mega upload story that went out,
right?
And so you think about it, it's like, wow, they hacked into that pretty quick. I mean, it didn't take them months to do. So. Yeah, there's something to say about that, to be a little leery about these guys. But I'm, you know, right now I'm sure the CIA is kind of laughing at them. But if you piss off the CIA, you know, you ought to watch out about that.
Yeah.
It could be like two to the head, and I don't have my sound effect up on that page. Do I even have that? Let's see. There we go.
I've got it on my no agenda soundboard.
There you go.
But
too bad it's in. Yeah. I didn't hear it. What happened? Oh, it's turned down. Yeah, I just tried to play it, but it didn't play for some reason. My iPad is not iPadding correctly. All right, you can hear that.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Well, so much for that. You missed a good sound effect.
Hey, it wouldn't be late night QRM if we didn't have some sort of online technical glitch.
Someday I'm going to get all the right equipment, the very best, and have things at my fingertips, you know, and just be able to fire off.
Hey, this
off.
Is part of the experience, though.
I guess so. I guess so. Jeez. Let's see. What else did we have here? Oh, Cinemagram. That's an app. Speaking of, it's an iOS app, which I downloaded. And I have a link in the show notes for it. It looked kind of interesting. It you can take video, and then you can make those little motion GIFs from a piece of it. Now, it doesn't, you know, I tried it, and it seems to work, but you're very limited on the size that allows you to make it. And the only reason I was interested in it, because those motion GIFs seem to be very popular on Google Plus. A lot of people, instead of just having a link to a video, they'll show the, if it's just a short little thing, they'll make a motion GIF out of it, and they'll show it, and it just plays over and over again. And so I said, hey, this would be kind of cool. So I tried it, and I haven't been too successful with it, but I only downloaded it today. I didn't read any instructions. I just went and tried it. I want to see if you can fairly easily make those little GIFs, because I think that's kind of a cool idea if you just got a little quick thing you want to show and put it on Google Plus or Facebook or any of the other social networks. So I've got a link in the show notes to that Cinemagram. Try it. Maybe after I get to play with it this week, I'll have more to say about it next week. So, and my next note is TiVo is back on DirecTV.
You know, I've never used it ever.
I had a TiVo when, matter of fact, on DirecTV, the TiVo DVR was the only one when they first started coming out with DVRs that you could get on DirecTV, and I loved my TiVo up until about a month ago. We were still using it in the upstairs bedroom, but I went over. HD decided to come out with their own, and at first wasn't too thrilled with it, but they've improved it slowly but surely, and now I actually think that the DirecTV DVRs are better than what TiVo has. So this is kind of a ho-hum. I like my DirecTV one now. I can do the whole house thing with my DirecTV one, where they can watch it upstairs. They've changed their graphics on it. It's faster. It does an excellent job. And the next... and I have a link to the story in the show notes, but the next link down below that one, DirecTV has announced a new DVR, and I'm pulling up the page right now. It's called the HMC HD DVR, and they have 5 tuners in it. So you can record up to 5 shows simultaneously, and also watch, you know, recorded shows at the same time throughout the house, because it works on the whole house thing. This I'd like to upgrade to, because I have hit my limit sometimes where two shows are being recorded, and I want to watch a third show, and I can't. But if I got 5 tuners, I'll be able to do that. So, again, you know, I'm sticking with DirecTV. Something annoying about this, because I was reading the page on it, and I said, this is really cool. I think I'm going to call them up about it. And it says, available only to new DirecTV customers. Limit 1 what? Per customer. Available to all DirecTV customers in early 2012. So... It's like, what? What? Hello, I've been a faithful, you know, customer of yours for 15 years now, and you're offering it to new people first? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it
does.
No, it doesn't.
You know, it's like they do this all the time. I mean, they had
as long as I've been with them too.
They had a thing with new people. It's like, oh, free HD for life. And it's like, I've been with you for 15 years. Where's my free HD for life? You know, so I gotta go and get free HD on a every 2 year basis now from them. It's like, why don't you give me free HD? You gave it to all those people. Oh, well, we were trying to get new customers. Well, yeah. Would you like to keep your old customers?
How about retaining?
Yeah. So I may have to call them up about this. Besides, when I upgraded to the whole house thing, they put a new antenna on my roof. And that's down on the bottom part of the roof, which I like because you can't see it from the front of the house now. But they only sent one guy out, so they couldn't take down the other antenna, which is up at the top of the roof. And he said, well, we'll come by and pick that up another time when we have two people. Well, it's been, about 2, maybe 3 months now, and I still have that antenna up on the roof. And so I'm about ready to call them and say, hey, you know, you need to come out here and take that antenna, like you said, and don't bother trying to charge me $90 for a service call, because you're supposed to take it the first time. And while you're at it, why don't you bring one of them new fancy DVRs with you? See if I can get them to do that. But I know I'm gonna have to wheel and deal with them, because they're gonna want you to you lease the equipment from DirecTV, but you still pay like this big price up front, like you're buying the equipment from them. And so I always have to wheel and deal with them and say, look, if you want me to pay for that up front, then you got to give me the equivalent amount in dollars of free programming for the next so many months, because I'm not buying your equipment for you. If it's a lease and you're charging me a monthly to have that stuff in the house. So they usually wheel and deal with you, but you're going to haggle with them. So the story there is, when you call them up, you immediately ask for retention. Can I speak to retention, please? And they have better deals. So, but it's still a hassle that you have to haggle with them. Anyway, so that's DirecTV and how it makes me happy and sad at the same time. And the only other, I think this is, going to do one out of order here. The Waze upgraded their software or their app on the iPhone. Waze is a thing that allows you to, it allows you to see traffic and how much traffic's on the roads. And it's a GPS program. And instead of other Waze people in the area report in, like they'll report what the traffic's like, and they'll report in whether there's an accident, or, you know, police are sitting out catching speeders and things like that. And it's really neat. It's really good. They can also provide you directions. However, their directions suck, usually. I've tried it several times, and they give you the worst directions to places. Like, for me to go to work, they actually instructed me to go up this road and take an exit and then do a U-turn and come back down the same way. Yeah, so they basically took me past work and had me take a U-turn and come back down the highway. So I don't like their direction part of it that much. But they now added voice commands, which seems to work even on my iPhone 4, because I think they're trying to use some of the Siri or the voice command API. To implement this, and it seems to work on mine. They also have a thing where you just wave your hand in front of the phone, because their whole idea is that you don't have to press buttons while you're driving, so you can wave your hand and then it'll beep beep, and then you can issue it voice commands. It seems to work. I only downloaded it today. I tried it out in the house. It seems to work fairly decently. I may try it on the road tomorrow as I'm driving to work. See how it works. Supposedly you can report different events, like, you know, accidents and the police and whatnot, road work, and you can just give it voice commands for that. So I'll be looking forward to trying that out, but that's kind of neat. Hands free.
I use it from time to time.
Yeah,
but for me, I mean, I turn Waze on and I get going. It can't check into the network until I'm 20 miles from.
Oh, yeah, you do need to have access to the network.
Right, but and then, you know, I'm working tomorrow, day shift, Herg, which means I'll be leaving here at 4:30 in the morning, and I may see one or two cars in the 40-mile trip from here to the station.
So you don't have a real reason to use Waze.
You know, I'll be like, you know, I'll report Fox. Deer, tree down, but that's the excitement. Oh, snowdrift, another snowdrift.
And you're only reporting it to yourself because you're probably the only Waze user.
Yeah, pretty much, because the nearest people that really check in the Waze up here are down in Marquette generally.
Yeah.
It was a topical discussion for me this week, though, because one of the people I follow and follows me on Google Plus has started a no agenda group. Oh, cool. So I checked in the Waze. No agenda show group, actually.
Really?
And I checked into Waze, and I look for it, and it doesn't show up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're in England.
Oh, really?
But then I looked in the U.S., and there's a no agenda group in the U.S., and it had only one member, Lone Wolf. You'll get that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So now it's got two members in it. I have joined Lone Wolf in the No Agenda Waze group.
Where is that group coming out?
I don't know. I haven't had time to dig into it any further.
I started. My only problem with it was when I started using Downcaster, I used to bring Waze up all the time, but the two don't get along very well. And I don't know whose fault is what, but I'd have, you know, be playing a podcast, and then of course that one would finish and the next one would supposedly and it wouldn't start if I had Waze up. I'd actually have to go into Downcaster, and sometimes Downcaster would fail and I'd have to restart it, or sometimes I would just have to hit a button for the next podcast to start. Somehow they interfere with each other. And another thing I want to check out is, now that they're doing voice, I may not be able to play podcasts at all in the background.
Oh, yeah, that might be a problem.
So,
Waze allows music, though, doesn't it?
It did. That's a good question. I'll have to see if it still does. And it seems to work fine with iTunes, but it didn't work with Downcast very, very well.
Huh. So when I am using something, I use Motion X Drive.
Oh, right.
Which also has turn by turn. It's got voice turn by turn on it. It's very good.
Yeah. I use Copilot. And the reason I got that is because when I was first doing this, most of the iPhone type GPS ones, you had to be connected to the network to see the maps. And it was very spotty up here. And Copilot gives you the maps.
Right. And Motion X allows you to, when you are in range or connected on Wi-Fi, to determine where you're going first, and it will download all the current maps between where you are and where you're going.
So if you plan a trip, it'll download them ahead of time. That's nice. That's a nice feature.
And I have the same problem up here. I just look at large I have large tracts of road that no 3G coverage at all, or edge or nothing.
Right.
Not just up here. Once they get south of the metropolitan area, the two-county area, there's large expanses of no Verizon coverage or anything down there.
Right. Unless you're on a major highway, probably. Because that seems to be...
Well, even on US 141, there's just large areas of large tracts of area with no coverage at all.
Wow.
Even on US 2, if I'm heading west.
Now, that Motion X, that also is a... You got a monthly fee for that?
Nope.
Oh, really? I thought there was the
motion. Well, for the voice part, yeah.
Okay.
Motion X Drive itself is 99 cents, or I think it was what I paid right. for.
But if you wanted to do the voice directions, it's a monthly.
If you want to do the voice, yeah, you buy that by the month.
Yeah. So I think I've tried it and I liked it, but it was the monthly fee that got me.
Right. No, I did not renew that. Mm-hmm. I only get it when I need it.
Well, and that's what you could do too. You know, if you know you're going away and you need it, you know, you just get it for that month. It's so. Well, okay. So we're
all right. We're back.
We're back. We had two things happen. by the way, we're probably not going to do the story on the Boston Robotics Alpha Dog because I'll probably have to edit that out. We got about halfway through that story when I dropped out. My Hangout dropped out. Michael texted me and said, you know, you dropped out. And I said, oh, yeah. So that took a while to get back. And also, at the same time, for some reason, Audition stopped recording. Right at the same time.
On a totally
different
computer.
Yes, on a totally different computer. No lights blinked at this end. Nothing happened. I don't know what was going on. But needless to say, I was sitting here talking for probably about 10, 15 minutes, and nothing got recorded. So this is going to be the end. The musical guest for tonight is unknown at this time.
What a surprise.
I'll insert musical guest here. Actually, it's because I was trying to go up on Music Alley, which is owned by Mevio, and I was having problems getting onto the site. But that was other news and another topic. I was so hoping Barty would join us tonight.
We want Barty in on that one.
We can give you a heads up on it. They announced that they wanted to go into the video business only, and without warning, they basically shut down all the podcast sites there. And not only did they shut it down so you can't get to them, neither can the owners. They can't get to their podcasts or anything else. So they basically screwed them over royally.
Or even redirect their feeds.
Right. So those people are just out of luck. All those shows that they posted on Mevio, I believe, are gone. Now, you know, maybe if you call them and ask them politely or something, but it just sounds like, well, we were a free service, so screw you. We, you know? And they own Music Alley, so I don't know whether that's part of the problem or not. But we'll get more information about that, and maybe we'll talk about that next week, because that's bad. Excuse me. That is just not a nice thing to do. And you're not making any friends by doing that kind of stuff. However, if you are one of those podcasters that was on Mevio, you might want to check out Blueberry, spelled Blubrry. They do have hosting offers there, and you have to pay to host there, but you could just set your site up there, and if you can find another place to put your podcast, that's fine too. They don't care. They also offer advertising if you've got a popular podcast that you can make some money on your podcast. So check them out, blueberry.com, blubrry.com. That's what we use here at Late Night QRN. So I think that'll do it for this week. So once again, to all our military out there, hey, we love you. Stay safe. Hopefully you'll get home here in the near future. And remember, we're all proud of
you. Thank you for what you do.
Yes, thank you very much. And so that'll do it. So from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the man cave in the suburbs of Copper Harbor, I can speak. This is Michael the Virtual Yeeper. Be well.
And we'll see you next week, everybody.
Hello. This is Alex. Barry J's voice is shot, so he asked me to introduce tonight's musical guest. Here's London with Aurora Blue.
If I could put a ring on your finger, I'd probably give you two. I'm falling so in love with you. I'm lost between the fire of your kiss and everything I miss when I'm off in a roar of blue. And every time we kiss and every time we touch, I'm finding out I'm lost and I'm found in you. I'm lost in outer space and you're my oxygen, the closest thing to heaven that I've never been.
And girl, you know,
Samson, speak. Good boy.